si tenang jaya si tenang. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Bolam. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttavara Gamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Gitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandita Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itina Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshata Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vatsali Gaura Bhakta
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Before we start, maybe the gents can move a bit forward in case others straggle in later. I heard you had a very nice Harinam in Zagreb yesterday. Too much ecstasy.
Huh? Not enough.
Not enough. A good dose. So we're continuing to discuss Sita Ram in the heart of the devotee, following our general theme of the heart of the devotee. And we have heard something about the first meeting, the first seeing of Sita by Rama, and the first seeing of Rama by Sita, and of the beauty of Sita and of the beauty or the handsomeness of Rama. And we've also heard about the power of Rama, which we can say was inspired by Sita and the destiny that everyone felt, that Sita and Rama must come together as the divine eternal couple, Sita Ram. Today I want to move into the Ayodhya Kanda, and after the happy meeting and joyous wedding of Sita and Ram and the return to Ayodhya, after some years there is what Srila Prabhupada might call a reversal. a reversal of fortune, or apparent reversal of fortune. Before we do some reading of excerpts from Ramcharitmanas of Tulsidas, and also from Valmiki Ramayana, a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Verse 54. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this chapter is describing the pastimes of Lord Rama, very much summarizing the Ramayana, this chapter and the following chapter, chapter 10 and 11 of Canto 9. So this is almost the very end of chapter 10.
Ekapatni Vratadaro Rajarshi Charita Shuchi Svadharmam Grihamediyam Shikshayan Svayam Acharat. Ekapatni vratadaro Rajarshi charita suchi Svadharmam grihamedinam.
Correction. Svadharmam grihamediyam
Shikshayan svayam acharat.
Do you want to chant it? Don't have it yet. Okay.
Ekapatni vratadara.
Chapter 10, verse 54. Taking a vow not to accept a second wife or to have any connection with any other woman.
Rajarishi,
like a saintly king.
Charita,
whose character.
Shuji,
pure.
Svadharmam,
one's own occupational duty.
Grihamedhiyam,
especially of persons situated in household life. Shikshayan, teaching by personal behavior. Svayam, personally. Acharat, executed his duty. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashrama Dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities. Purport. Ekapatni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravana and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravana and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprastas, are all equally important. Prabhupada doesn't mention sannyasis here. They're not very important. Yes. Ekapatni vratadaro rajarshi charita shuchi svadharmam grihamediyam shikshayan svayam acharat. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashrama Dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities. As we discussed a couple of days ago, Lord Ramachandra is known as Maryada Purushottama, the Supreme Lord of Propriety. And he is sometimes contrasted with Lila Purushottama Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord of Play, Divine Play. I mentioned also that in the Bhagavatam, there's a good deal of discussion, glorification of Dharma, of Varnashrama Dharma, and so on. At the same time, it is all in the context of bhakti. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokchaje ahaitu kiya pratiyata yayatma suprasivati. What is called paradharma, the supreme dharma, is that by which one can engage in loving devotional service to the Lord without any motivation. Ahaituki, from hetu, cause, ahaituki, apratiyata, and without interruption. Apratihata. This is the standard of dharma, and this dharma is elaborated very extensively in the Bhagavatam. So here in the ninth canto, there is a particular focus on dharma with the example, the achara of Lord Ramachandra. And here the emphasis is on his keeping to, as a householder, having one wife, Eka Patni Vrata Dara, literally the carrier of the vow of having one wife. Srila Prabhupada was asked once, what is the main lesson from the Ramayana? And he said the main lesson from the Ramayana is that it is very troublesome to have a wife. So today we want to describe the beginning of the troubles, the glorious troubles. And this is by no means meant to, speak negatively about the Grihastha ashram. After all, without Grihasthas, where would we all be? Without householders, none of us would be here. So, Manu says that of all the ashramas, the Grihastha ashrama is actually the most important. Because without it, there would be none of us. There would be... It's the safest, yes. So, after these very happy, very joyful events of the end of the Balakanda, we enter into the darker regions of intrigue, which happen in the beginning of Ayodhya Kanda, in which the evil Mantara is able, by her clever persuasions, to change the heart of Kaikeyi into one of suspicion, fear and suspicion, and resolve that her son shall be taking the position of king, and Rama shall be banished to the forest. Taking advantage of a vow, a boon which her husband Dasharatha had given on the battlefield, because Kaikeyi had saved him in a very precarious situation, given granting a boon, a double boon. She is now cashing in that benediction to the great horror of Dasharatha and the great consternation and utter loss of reason, of understanding of the residents of Ayodhya. I want to begin with Lord Rama informing Sita of this decision by Dasharatha, not really his decision, he was forced into it, the decision of Rama to go to the forest in obedience to his father. we find the suggestion in Tulsidas's version, Ramcharitmanas, that Rama was actually overjoyed at the opportunity to go to the forest. He actually wanted to go to the forest. So on the one side, there's this notion of duty. It is my duty to go to the forest because it is the order of my father. But we see the element of bhakti is there in his desire to go to the forest. And of course, we can say this is in order to move forward the entire purpose of his appearance, but also to make possible the special sweet, or we should say some eventually bittersweet, interaction, relation, and separation of Sita and Rama. All right, so here in Valmiki Ramayana, and I'm reading from a translation of what's called the critical edition of the Ramayana. This is a translation by one scholar from America, Sheldon Pollock, Sanskritist at Columbia University. Sita, my honored father, is banishing me to the forest. O Janaki, you are the daughter of a great house. You know what is right and always practice it. And then Rama briefly explains what has happened and immediately then proceeds to instruct Sita that she must remain at home in order to take care of Rama's mother, Kaushalya. And in the course of this instruction, he says to Sita, "Be strong, my sensible wife. When I have gone to the forest where sages make their home, my precious, blameless wife, you must earnestly undertake vows and fasts. You must rise early and worship the gods according to custom, and then pay homage to my father, Dasharatha, Lord of men. And my aged mother, Kaushalya, who is tormented by misery, deserves your respect as well. For she has subordinated all to righteousness." This is, the word righteousness is translating the word dharma. "The rest of my mothers too must always receive your homage. My mothers are all equal in my eyes for their love, affection, and care." Interesting, because Kaikeyi, one of these mothers, has just arranged that Rama be banished to the forest for 14 years. But Rama is not feeling any ill will toward her. Well, as we know, Sita doesn't particularly like these instructions. Huh?
He doesn't stay in Ayodhya?
No, she doesn't. Surprise, surprise. Well, not exactly, because she convinces Rama to change his mind. Now, there's interesting theme, you can say, or motif in the Ramayana, and that is persuasion. We have Kaikeyi being persuaded by Mantara to do what she does. And now Sita is going to persuade Rama to take her with him to the forest. Valmiki says that she grew angry only because she loved Rama. And she said, "My Lord, a man's father, his mother, brother, son, or daughter-in-law all experience the effects of their own past deeds and suffer an individual fate. But a wife, and she alone, bull among men, must share her husband's fate. Therefore I, too, have been ordered to live in the forest. It is not her father or mother, not her son or friends or herself, but her husband, and he alone, who gives a woman permanent refuge in this world and after death. If you must leave this very day for the trackless forest, Raghava, I will go in front of you, softening the thorns and sharp kusha grass." So this is her first argument. There will be a few arguments she will make. I would say this is a pretty strong argument, wouldn't you? You're already convinced.
Especially when she says she'll go out and front.
Especially when, Mara said, especially when she says she'll go out in front. She says, "Do not be reluctant to take me, my mighty husband. There is no evil in me. The shadow of a husband's feet in any circumstances surpasses the finest mansions, the finest palaces, or an aerial chariot, or even flying through the sky. My mother and father instructed me in all these different questions. I do not have to be told now the proper way to behave. I shall live as happily in the forest as if it were my father's house, caring for nothing in the three worlds but to be faithful to my husband. I will obey you always and practice self-discipline and chastity." The Sanskrit for this is shushushamana te nityam niyata brahmacharini. So we always thought the word brahmacharini was something invented from the word brahmachari. But it's in the Valmiki Ramayana. She says, "I will be a brahmacharini." Translated here as, I will observe self-discipline and chastity. "What pleasures I shall share with you, my mighty husband, in the honey-scented forests." Well, she's not finished. She has more arguments. Sita's pretty tough. Yeah, she's a kshatriya. " O Rama, bestower of honor, you have the power to protect any other person in the forest. Why then not me? That's a pretty good argument, huh? You need not doubt that I can survive on nothing but fruit and roots. I shall not cause you any trouble by living with you. And here comes another argument. I want to see the streams and mountains, the ponds and forests. And nowhere shall I be afraid with my wise husband to defend me. I want to see the lotus ponds in full bloom, blanketed with geese and ducks, happy in your company, my mighty husband. What pleasures I shall share with you, my large-eyed husband. What bliss for me to be with you like this, were it for 100,000 years. And she continues, if I were to be offered a place to live in heaven itself, O Raghava, tiger among men, I would refuse it if you were not there. I will go to the trackless forest teeming with deer, monkeys, and elephants, and live there as if in my father's house, clinging to your feet alone in strict self-discipline. I love no one else. My heart is so attached to you that were we to be parted, I am resolved to die. Take me, oh please grant my request. I shall not be a burden to you. Now, the Sanskrit of this verse, I love no one else, my heart is so attached to you. Ananya bhavam anurakta chetasam tvaya viyuktam maranaya nischitam. So, ananya bhavam anurakta chetasam. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse in the 8th chapter, ananya cheta satatam yo mang smarati nityasha tasya aham sulava partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Krishna tells Arjuna that one whose consciousness is fixed constantly, satatam, on no other, for that person, Krishna says, I am easily attained. Sulabha. Tasya ham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. For the yogi who is always engaged in the Lord in this way, the Lord is easily attained. So Sita is reminding Rama that she is such a devotee. And so Rama is becoming convinced that indeed he should take Sita with him. Why? Because he says in Bhagavad Gita, I am easily attained by one who is always thinking of me alone. Ananya bhavam anurakta chetasam. It mentions here, by the way, that she looks forward to seeing the various animals of the forest. Where was it? Including, oh yes, the deer, the monkeys, and the elephants. Well, in the Valmiki Ramayana, sorry, in Tulsi Ramayana, that must be here. Let's see if I can find this now. Well, it's mentioned that Kaushalya is reflecting, how will it, or she asks, how will it be possible for Sita to go to the forest? It will be so frightening for her. She becomes frightened even if she sees a picture of a monkey. And furthermore, her feet never touch the ground because she's always carried from one place to another. So she never touches the ground. So how will it be possible for her to survive in the forest? And then a bit more of her, of Sita's reflection. With her head bent low, Sita, who was beauty personified and cherished unalloyed love toward her Lord, sat reflecting, quote, "The Lord of my life would depart to the forest. It has yet to be seen who will have the good fortune to accompany him, my body and soul together, or my soul alone." The avadi is kitanu prana ki kevala prana bidhi karatabu kachujai na jana. So tanu means body, prana is translated here as soul, life air, but it's can be used in that sense of my life, you know, prana bandhu, the life of the friend of my life, like that. So it's an interesting way he puts it. So who's going to be fortunate to go to the forest with Ram? Is it going to be only my prana, or is it going to be my prana and my body? And then, what God intends to do cannot be foreseen even partly. Unquote. As she scratched the ground with the lovely nails of her toes, her anklets produced a musical sound. As if, so declare the poets, they, the anklets, lovingly prayed that Sita's feet may never abandon them. Nice. This is poetry. Okay, continuing with Valmiki Ramayana. After such arguments from Sita, then it's Rama's turn to make his arguments. And basically, he has one argument, and that is, the forest is a dangerous place. And he repeats several times, it's a kind of litany of the phrase, tasma dukataram vanam, the forest is a place of pain. He says, the name forest is given only to wild regions where hardships abound. It is, in fact, with your welfare at heart that I am saying this. The forest is never a place of pleasure, I know, but only of pain. And then he elaborates, there are lions, they live in the caves. Their roars are very painful to hear. The forest is a place of pain. One must sleep on the ground on a bed of leaves, and not leaves that you pick from the trees, but leaves broken off by themselves. In other words, dry leaves. So this would be presumably some rule from Dharma Shastra for vanaprastas, or for sages living in the forest. And so on. One has to fast, he says. One has to wear clothes of bark. Anyone have experience of wearing bark clothes? Apparently what they used to do, I found out about this in Hong Kong, of all places, where some scholar did some study of bark clothing. Scholars get into all sorts of weird things. They found remnants of ancient bark clothing in South China, like 6,000 years old. Apparently they would, I don't think they found the bark clothing, but they found the hammers that they use. What they do is they hammer the bark. They beat it to make it sort of soft. And then they're able to, I guess, make it into some sort of like fiber. Yeah. The wind is so intense there, and the darkness too. One is always hungry, and the dangers are so great. The forest is a place of utter pain. On and on, he speaks like this. You're not, Sita, you're not going to have a good time in the forest. There are thorn trees, kusha and kasha grass. Now, we always think of kusha as, you know, it's very auspicious grass for sacrifice. But kusha grass is very sharp. And the forest is a tangle of their branches and blades. The forest is a place of utter pain. So no more of your going to the forest. You could not bear it. The more I think about it, the more I see how many hardships the forest holds. Rama says, the more I think about it, the more reasons I can see why you should not go. So, now it's Sita's turn again. With tears trickling down her face, she answered him in a faint voice, "Do you not know that what you call the hardships of life in the forest would all be luxuries if your love accompanied them?" So remember, there's this principle of dharma, but now we're getting the theme of bhakti. That Sita says, you know, whatever the pain may be, actually it will not be pain because of your love, your devotion. "By the order of our elders, I must go with you, Rama. I would die here, and now if parted from you. But if I were by your side, Raghava, not even Shakra, Lord of the gods, could harm me for all this, for all his might." Shuki. "A woman whose husband has left her cannot go on living, regardless of what advice you give me, Rama. Besides, my wise husband, long ago..." And now comes a real clincher argument. "Long ago, in my father's house, I heard the Brahmins prophesy that someday I should have to live in the forest." Whoa. "The twice-born could read the marks on a person's body. And from that moment at home, when I heard what they foretold, I have constantly longed to live in the forest. The prediction that I should have to live in the forest must someday be fulfilled. And it is with you that I would go there, my love, not otherwise. I will go with you and carry out the prediction. The moment has arrived. Let the prophecy of the twice-born come true." I know that in living in the forest there is indeed much pain, but it is only those who are unprepared that suffer from it. When I was a girl in my father's house, I happened to hear, in the presence of my mother, all about forest life from a holy mendicant woman. So she says, there's not going to be a problem. I already know all about how to live in the forest. I'm all trained up. And besides, it's been prophesied. So I have to go to the forest, so sooner or later, so it might as well be with you. And then another argument she makes is there will be no sin. So back to the point of Dharma. I shall have no sin to answer for because my husband is my deity. Now it comes out more in the Tulsi Ramayana than it does in the Valmiki Ramayana. There's a kind of a dilemma here, and that is that who's going to take care of Kaushalya? Because it's not said explicitly, but it's understood later that Dasharatha is going to leave. So then there's only going to be Kaushalya. Who will take care of her? Rama is saying, you should stay home and take care of my mother. But Sita is saying, no, my duty is to be with the husband. And in the Ramcharitamanas, Kaushalya, well, also in the Valmiki Ramana, she agrees, Kaushalya agrees, yes, you should go with your husband. So then, like this, Sita is working on Rama more and more. And then, at one point, she is brooding, because he seems to have not changed his mind. But then as she's thinking like this, suddenly anger overtook her. Now she's angry. And she says something really heavy to Rama. What could my father, Vaideha, the Lord of Mithila, have had in mind when he took you for a son-in-law, O Rama? A woman with the body of a man. Ooh. The Sanskrit of that. King Tvang Anyata Vaideha Pita Me Mitiladipa Rama Jama Taram Prapya Striyam Purusha Vigraham. A woman, in the Vigraha, the form of a Purusha, a man. Ooh.
Sissy.
Yeah, you're a sissy, Rama. You know what a sissy is? You get the idea from the sound of it. Yeah, a cowardly, effeminate and fear and lacking courage. Then she goes on with the theme of faithfulness. I am as faithful to you as Savitri was to Satyavan, Dyutamatsena's son. Were I to go with you, blameless Raghava, I would not even think of looking at any man but you, unlike some women who disgrace their family. But like a procurer, Rama, someone who acquires things, like a businessman, I guess. You are willing of your own accord to hand me over to others, your wife. Oh, I think there's a stronger meaning here. Procurer. I think what is meant here is pimp. A man who makes arrangements for prostitutes. That's another heavy statement. This is Valmiki Ramayana. I am not making this up. You must not leave for the forest without taking me. Let it be austerities or the wilderness or heaven, but let it be with you. As I follow behind you, now it's speaking behind, not before, I shall no more tire on the path than on your pleasure bed, on our pleasure beds. The kusha and kasha grass, the reeds, the rushes and thorn trees will feel just like cotton.
She gave up the idea of walking in front.
The dust raised by heavy winds that will settle on me, my love, I shall look upon as the costliest sandalwood cream. Yeah. Well, it goes on like this. He still has not said, okay, then you can come. Water clear as crystal springing from her torment came gushing from all around her eyes like water from two lotuses. She was nearly insensible with sorrow when Rama took her in his arms and comforted her with these words. As they say, tears are the last resort of a woman. The last weapon, yes. Powerful weapon. Okay, now Rama speaks. If its price were your sorrow, my lady, I would refuse heaven itself. No, I am not afraid of anything any more than is the self-existent Brahman or Brahma. But without knowing your true feelings, my lovely, I could not consent to your living in the wilderness, though I am perfectly capable of protecting you. Since you are determined to live with me in the forest, my Tili, I could no sooner abandon you than a self-respecting man his reputation. But it is righteousness, my smooth-limbed wife, the righteousness good men in the past have practiced, that I am set on following today as its radiance follows the sun. And righteousness, Dharma, is this, my fair-hipped wife, submission to one's mother and father. I could not bear to live were I to disobey their command. My father keeps to the path of righteousness and truth, and I wish to act just as he instructs me. That is the eternal way of righteousness. Follow me, my timid one. Be my companion in righteousness. Go now and bestow precious objects on the Brahmins. Give food to the mendicants and all who ask for it. Hurry, there is no time to waste. So this is Valmiki. The emphasis is again and again on Dharma, Dharma. I am following Dharma. I am simply doing this for fulfilling my Dharma to my parents. So you can also follow me as I practice Dharma. But we understand behind this there is Sita's love and her, not her sense simply of duty, but her love for Rama. And it is this, I would say, which holds for the devotee Sita and Rama in the heart. As we know, story doesn't end here. There will be indeed separation. In fact, it strikes me as ironic here that Rama says that, of course, he is perfectly capable of protecting Sita. Well, but then again, it seems, at least, that Ravana is able to abduct Sita. Of course, we know something else is going on there from the spiritual perspective, as explained in the Kurma Purana. But still, for the devotee, Sita and Rama are in the heart. Especially, getting back to this verse from the Bhagavatam, for the householder, but not only for the householder. Of course, Sita and Rama are the ideal householders. And one may say, well, they are the ideal, and who are we? We cannot imitate the ideal. No, but we can follow the ideal to the best of our ability. And particularly with respect to keeping faithful to each other. But also, Sita and Ram in the heart are there for the brahmacharis and the vanaprastas and the sannyasis because of Sita's vow, as she says, I will be a brahmacharini. In other words, she is being chaste in her devotion to her Lord. Similarly, all of us, whatever our ashrama, are chaste. We make a vow to remain chaste in our devotion to our Lord. So in this way, it is very nice to remember Sita Ram as we reflect on the heart of the devotee. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. did you have something, Raj?
Nisam dobro čuo, da li si rekao ko pokreće zabave gospodina Ramachandre? Poznači ovo, ne vrini. Ne, nije Ramachandre.
Who is arranging Rama's pastimes?
Ne, nije dobra reč. Pokreće.
Who is driving them? Not quite sure. Are you, perhaps you are thinking in relation to Lord Krishna's pastimes in a sense being driven by Yoga Maya? Is that your idea?
Ne,
no. Okay.
Pre 4 godine si rekao da Krišnine zabave van Vrindavane je pokretao Narada Muni.
Narada Muni is... Yeah, Narada has a way of provoking, impelling Krishna's pastimes to move forward. Do you want to comment on this?
It's not a complete comment, but it's the demigods. The demigods want Ravana finished, and so the incarnation of the Lord appears for that purpose.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yes, Udaricha.
Hare Krishna. I would like to... it's more for a commentary. One of the arguments of Sita was to go with Rama in the forest was, I shall not make any disturbance to you. But she did it.
She made so much disturbance. Huh?
Yes, so any comment on this?
Huh? Hare Krishna. He said that, not me.
What he said?
He said, never trust a woman. That's what Janaka Pandit says. Sita, as we know, becomes very much enchanted by the appearance of what seems to be a very wonderful deer. Actually, she says in the passage we read that she wants to see the deer. So she wants to see the deer, and this wanting to see the deer becomes the cause of the the separation that will happen between Ram and Sita, or the apparent separation. Well, it gets back to what I was saying Prabhupada said about what is the lesson of the Ramayana as a whole. It shows how much trouble it is to keep a wife. The time that Sita and Ram are together in the forest, that's described in the next parvan, Aranya parva, Aranya Kanda, in Chitrakuta, is very, 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 very sweet. They have a very nice time together. That is their... That is Madhurya Lila. Madhurya Rasa is going on in Chitrakuta. And the trouble actually begins with Shurpanaka, because Rama has vowed to have only one wife. And besides, Shurpanaka was not particularly attractive, although she tried to make herself attractive. When Shurpanaka became angry that she was rejected, then Rama, was it Rama or was it Lakshmana? It was Lakshmana who disfigured her, and then this set a kind of chain reaction in motion. Shurpanaka, being the sister of Ravana, reporting to Ravana, you can be sure there's going to be trouble. And so in a sense we could say Sita is not to blame here. She was simply a victim. She disobeyed, says Misha. Well, this thing about the circle, stay inside the circle. To my memory, this is also not in Valmiki Ramayana. I don't know if it's in Tulsi Ramcharitmanas. I haven't read that far yet. Yeah, so. There are many Ramayanas. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to ask, now as I understand, a king to assure in the future of his kingdom order and dharma, he should have some progeny. But basically, by making a vow to have only one wife, but then in the end, as I understand, he didn't stay with Sita because he couldn't prove to his subject 100% her chastity.
Mm.
He couldn't have progeny.
Oh, he had progeny. He had twins.
With who?
Lava and Kusha.
With who?
With Sita.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Because I haven't read it yet.
But he banished her before they were born. So, yeah, there is...
You have to read the whole thing.
Yeah, you have to read the whole thing. But, I mean, it is an interesting point. Actually, Dasharatha had three wives and 300 concubines. That's mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana.
300 or 350?
350, whatever. Yeah. He had a lot.
Really doesn't matter, does it?
Over 300, you stop counting, you know.
Well, because there's 365 days.
Oh, right, I see, okay.
Yeah. One for each day. You know.
Imagine, don't imagine having 300 concubines.
There's a statement that I've heard many times that Sita said, and I don't know, you didn't mention it today in the discussion, so I was just wondering if it's actually a bona fide statement. And that is, Sita says to Ram, Ayodhya without you is like the forest, and the forest with you is like Ayodhya. Have you heard that before?
I've heard that, but I haven't read it in this passage of the Valmiki Ramayana. But it might be later. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, after they leave. Because this discussion is going on in Ayodhya before they leave. Mm-hmm. And it could well come later. I have to see. After they're in the forest. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Could.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Lavangalatika.
Hare Krishna. I wish to understand, but I never understand why Sita want a golden deer.
Why did Sita want that golden deer? That's a good question. Why? What's so special about a golden deer?
She have Ramachandra, she have all.
She had everything with Rama. Yes. Why she needs a deer?
Yes.
You have an answer to that? Childish desire? A pet? She wanted a pet for diversion? Maybe Lord Rama was getting a little bit boring. Yes, Maharaji. I know. Yes, Maharaji, but... Oh, huh? No? You're just holding... Oh, you're translating. I saw you with the microphone, I thought. Okay, I think... Yeah, Maricha was a very powerful sage, able to take on this form, and... The very purpose of this magical deer form was to attract Sita. I mean, that was the calculation. So, but yes, one wonders if she is so absorbed, dedicated in Rama, why does she need a pet deer? And actually, dare I say, if I remember correctly, in the Valmiki Ramayana, I mean, this will shock you. She says to Rama, I want the deer dead or alive. Yeah. Dead or alive. Alive or dead. So not a pet. Dead pet. Well, thank you all very much for your kind attention and participation. I hope we've been able to inspire a little reading its wonderful accounts of the eternal pastimes of Sita and Rama. And I hope you'll be inspired to remember them, keep Sita and Rama in the heart, along with, shall we say, Radha and Krishna, as we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gaur Premanande.